What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, there, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to W-T-L. Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron
the Parlay.
Yes, sir.
Pounder.
We're back.
We are back, and we got energy like you wouldn't believe, because today,
yeah,
the first betting sports book
yep,
in Nebraska opens.
Yeah.
At Warhorse in Lincoln, right down the way from you.
Yeah, I can't wait. Gonna get a couple of these College World Series bets in tomorrow morning and watch them hit while I'm watching the game.
Hey, you just got to download that little Warhorse app, I guess. Fill out your little card, and then you just get in there and punch it. It's really easy to run down
to the kiosk. You know? It's just so close to me, so might as well.
I heard there's 10 kiosks there. So yeah. They'll get you out, get you on your way. So.
It'll be fun.
Hey, I'm just excited that we have legalized sports gambling now in the Cornhusker State. Speaking of which, should we talk about some hits and misses I guess it's a miss, but when I look at the big picture, you said this is a long shot, not everyone's talking about him.
Yeah.
You had Ricky Fowler at pretty good plus money to take the whole thing down.
Yeah.
And he was in the driver's seat.
He really was, Andy, and then I really think I cut it back to maybe even a top five play, Andy, which he did tie for fifth place, so that would have hit, but that round four really got to him. And ended up shooting on Sunday plus five, which, if you can go plus five on your last day and still get fifth in a PGA tournament, that's pretty good. But no, yeah, he was in that driver's seat. It's just, Clark and Scheffler and McIlroy really didn't succumb to the pressure. It looked like Ricky's still not there to win a major. So that was kind of a hit slash miss for me, Andy. Mm-hmm. The one that I really stands out to me that I missed big time was with Phil. I really thought that he's going to hit the cut. Yeah. I really thought he's going to come in because this is, the U.S. Open's the one that he needs to get that career grand slam, and he missed the cut there at shooting plus three. So I really was on Phil, and it came back to bite me.
Yeah, and I would say the same way for me. It's kind of a hit, but eventually a miss. I've been high on TCU, the Horned Frogs, for a couple of weeks now, and there's really no shame in the way that they lost to Florida yesterday. I mean, that looked like a home run.
It did.
Off the bat.
It looked like it was going to be.
The very last pitch of the game was right there, and then, it could have went the other way.
Exactly. No, and and if you're talking about TCU as one of your misses, that's a pretty good hit for the last couple of weeks because they have been one of the best teams in college baseball. It's just getting down to the nitty gritty here, Andy.
Hey.
And guess the two teams that we've been talking about all the way through regionals, the super regionals to the College World Series, are LSU and the Florida Tigers that we've been really high on. So it's fun to see those teams get in there. And obviously, like you said, Florida punched its ticket to the championship.
And when the 65, field of 65 bracket came out and Wake Forest got that number one overall, I kind of raised an eyebrow and I looked into it because I don't follow ACC baseball.
For sure not.
Hardcore throughout the entire season. Yeah. And everything I read about the Deacons was, no, they are legit. I even was looking at some stuff from down south, SEC land. Like, no. They probably do deserve the number one overall seed.
For sure.
And they have played up to it.
They have.
Wake Forest has looked really good. Tripped up a little yesterday, right?
Yeah.
But that sets up quite the fun for us here today.
It really does. And if we want to rewind to yesterday, Andy, it was Cade Bellisso hit a go-ahead three-run homer you know, for LSU, that really was the staple in the game. And, you know, now they have to play again tonight. So if we want to get into that, Andy, let's do it.
Let's do it. Cade Bellisa with a 3-run belly bomb.
Yep, the big belly bomb.
As they put it. And really just kind of stole the momentum on that one swing of the bat. And then Wake Forest was just never able to get it back. And we were listening to that game, watching that game.
Yeah.
And Wake Forest left some runners out on – some ducks out on the pond.
For sure.
They left some runners out there in scoring position. And when you can't help yourself against a team like LSU, they're going to slam the door on you. And that is exactly what happened.
No, it is. That's just SEC baseball to its finest, Andy. And, and they did it. And that is kind of surprising. We're sitting there talking about Wake Forest and, you know, number one seed and everything. LSU, from the lines that I am getting right now, it is a minus 145 for the LSU Tigers to win this game with the flop side on that. Wake Forest at a plus 115 to make it to the championship. So it's not crazy odds, but it the bookmakers think LSU has
the momentum.
The momentum winning two of the last three nights.
Yep.
But if you remember three nights ago, I was at the game. Wake Forest has already beat LSU in this tournament.
Yep.
So, and another thing I want to throw on there, the Demon Deacons have not lost consecutive games this season.
Yeah.
They just haven't done it. So they're trying to reach the championship round in its first College World Series since 1955. So there's a lot riding for the Demon Deacons.
And this has been such an exciting, to me, a very exciting CWS. I know a lot of people saying it's kind of boring baseball. I haven't seen all as many hits as what you'd like to see. I'm like, what are you talking about? These are great games. Seven or eight one-run games. We've seen walk-offs. We've seen it all. And this is kind of new territory for Wake Forest. Heard a crazy stat driving out here. Where they only have like 6 one-run wins. Like they beat people by 2, 3, 4
runs.
They
smoke them. They've been smoking ACC all year long.
Yeah, and two of those wins have come here at the College World Series in Omaha. But more times than not, obviously, they figured out how to get it done.
Exactly.
So that's pretty tough for me to bet against Wake Forest. But then on the flip side, man, I know what LSU is all about. You know, we've been to plenty of CWS games here in Omaha, Nebraska over the years, and it just seems like they find that magic.
No, they do, Andy. And they're hoping to set up a rematch of the 2017 finals that Florida beat them in. So this could be a little bit of a revenge thing that they got brewing up in their mind that they want to take on the Gators again to make that total SEC championship game, and then, you know, revenge their series from 2017 that Florida won.
Isn't that something? Like, Florida was the number 2 overall in that bracket one, the top bracket there, and they've gone 3-0. I mean, all they've done is taken care of business. A lot of people are high on Virginia. Got him. High on Oral Roberts.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. Him. And Oral Roberts deserves all the credit
for
they get. That first round win. They really showed their pitching staff. Yep. Their hitting came, but
just ran up against Florida. That's what happens.
Yeah, you're right.
And like we're saying about, you know, people playing their real best baseball in the CWS, it is happening. Florida's only won by one run every single game in the College World Series, Andy. So this isn't like Florida's world beaters right now. They just have taken care of business and won. Now they're in the championship. If we want to kind of shift our focus away from the game tonight, Andy, we got some future props for the all winner right now.
Okay.
Florida has the best odds because they are already in the championship at a plus 105. So you're getting plus money for a team that's already in the championship.
I like that.
Right.
Wow.
That's crazy. Right now you got LSU at a plus 235 and then Wake Forest at a plus 250.
Okay.
So you got the number one seed in the whole tournament with a plus 250 bet right now to win the College World Series. And once you get into the championship, Andy, all wins and losses are erased.
That's right. It's over.
It's a 3-game series. So the loss that LSU took from Wake Forest is erased. The Wake Forest loss that they took from LSU is erased. So it just turns into a 3-game series. So if you're really high on one of these teams, take one of these plus money bets right now because it's the best odds in the College World Series that you can get. right now.
That you're going to get. Yeah, and you mentioned Florida. They found a way to win that opening round against Virginia 6-5. Yeah. Game two against Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts, man, knocking off TCU in that first round.
Yeah.
I beat them 5-4. And then in a different type of game against TCU. Not a lot of runs being scored, but they eked it out 3-2. And I thought that was one of the more exciting games.
It has been.
You had base runners. You had good at-bats. You had phenomenal pitching. It's everything that I like to see in an elite baseball game. So I don't know what the folks are talking about when they're saying, what's going on? Why is the season so boring?
Jesus, the Gators have won eight in a row since facing elimination in the regional they hosted.
Yeah.
They're hot at the right time.
Yep.
And, you know, and TCU just kind of ran up against it, like you said, Andy. So I really think Florida is the best play right now for the championship. But I'm just saying that because they're already in it.
Yeah. Going to be rested.
I really think that LSU is on a kind of a magical run right now and has the momentum is going to take down Wake Forest. So give me the Tigers tonight. And I really want to see this rematch of the 2017 finals, and it'll be good. Tigers versus the Swamp.
Yeah, and not only this last win over LSU, over Wake Forest.
Yeah.
LSU, you know, they got them with that the home run was the difference
for sure.
Right? So they win 5-2. But the game before that is one that I really like, where they just smashed Tennessee 5-0. Shut them out.
Yeah.
Shut them out.
And it was a really, really good game until it got later in the innings, and then you could really see that LSU still had it, and it, you know, Tennessee kind of had made its run already. They had done what they could, and LSU still has it in the tank. I just think they have the best overall lineup, Andy, especially with that pitching. So I like LSU tonight. And I can't wait for that all SEC championship baseball, because that's really where it's at when you think about the College World Series.
Oh,
it's
man.
Florida and it's LSU.
And I know everybody wants to see that. But for all those reasons, I'm going Wake Forest. Give me that
the
pitching. Give me that pitching. They're going to get it figured out. They're going to get it sorted out. They got enough arms in that bullpen to go. That's how they've done it all season.
Plus money.
Yeah, they're plus money, and they're the number one overall seed.
There you go.
So I like Wake Forest. Give me Wake Forest, and then we'll see that ACC-SEC matchup.
Yeah.
Get somebody
no
else
No matter what,
there.
It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. But if I had to guess, there's going to be a little bit more purple in Omaha than gold or whatever that is.
They are dominating the Jell-O shots, aren't
yes, they?
Yes, they
are. I had a couple of those this week. I've been to two LSU games this week, and it's been a lot of fun.
See, you're skewed. You're at LSU.
I am skewed.
Well, let's take a quick minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. We've been enjoying the smooth, easy-drinking Ale Storm, official beer of Omaha's AAA baseball team, the Storm Chasers. Precisely crafted with Pilsner malt and Sterling hops, making it the perfect summer baseball beer. Nebraska Brewing Company, world-class in every glass. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
The Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
Yes, we are. And we talked a little NFL futures, some futures win totals last
MLB
week.
MLB futures.
We did that as well.
About to get into some NFL.
And now we got to get back into some NFL. There's still some teams out there that people are saying, hey, why aren't you talking about these guys?
Why aren't you talking
about those guys? So let's go ahead and do that. One of the teams that are, I mean, Nobody can help themselves but love Joe Burrow.
Yep.
They're loving on Joe Burrow. So are the odds makers. Got him at 11.5 total right now.
Yep.
That over juice at -110. The under juice at -110. So, boy, did they get that line just right.
It's right
at
there.
At 11.5.
Yeah, Andy. And just that's where it should be.
Yeah.
This is exactly like you were saying. We're talking about this last week on the show. The Kansas City Chiefs, the best team in football,
mm-hmm.
you know, the defending champions, they're at 11.5 wins too.
Mm-hmm.
So these two teams are really propelled to be the two best teams in the AFC as the odds makers are looking at it.
Yeah.
I think the over here is a pretty safe bet because I really think that Joe Burrow has been stepping, and is about to step on to being the best quarterback in the National Football League. I think he could knock on the door of Patrick Mahomes. Whoa. Maybe not the creativity, but I think he has the better offensive pieces around him than Mahomes does with the two superstar wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. So I see this team with the 17-game season, I see them winning at least 13, maybe 14 games, Andy, this season, just dropping four or three games.
So they went 12-4 last year. Baltimore, with all the jazz that was going on with Baltimore, they went 10-7. Yep. Pittsburgh had a down year, and they still went 9-8. And Cleveland, you know, is Cleveland. Still won seven games, though.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Baltimore's going to be better. I feel like Pittsburgh's going to be better. They got their quarterback back.
That could be.
I like the linebacker they got from the Bears, Roquan Smith, Ravens got there. And there's a couple of things that make me pause with Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I liked everything you had to say there about Joe Burrow and his receivers. How could you not? They were third in the NFL last year in passer.
For sure.
But they were 29th in rushing.
Yeah.
I mean, is that going to get better? I don't know.
They got Nixon going, obviously.
Yeah.
But,
And their defense was just middle of the road. I mean, it was just right down the middle. And that's good enough. That's good enough when you have a quarterback and a receiving core like that. You're going to get
your
wins.
Points.
I moved to the 17-game schedule. But even last year, they only went 12-4. So that's right there at that 11.5 line mark. And that's why you're seeing the money split right down the side. And I think if I'm looking at anything, they're probably going to drop a game or two because I'm expecting Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Their division to be better.
To be better. I mean, maybe not much better, but I do think they're going to be better. That's a grinder year in and year out of a division. And Baltimore and Pittsburgh, they're used to being on top. They feel like it's their division.
Yeah.
And I don't think they like Cincinnati stealing some of this limelight.
That could be the case, Andy, but I really just think that Baltimore is still going to be a dumpster fire. I really think that – I don't think they've moved past it. I really don't think – I think they drop a couple games. OBJ's there now. Lamar Jackson, you know, am I a running back? Am I a quarterback? I think all that drama still carries over. I really do think that Pittsburgh is going to be worse than they were last year.
Really?
I think they kind of, you know, outplayed their talent last year a little bit.
Sure. Tomlin does that all the time.
Yes. So I'm looking at them as an 8-8 or, you know, 9-8 team again. Okay. I just really don't see anybody other than the Browns, you know, making up a little bit of room just because Deshaun Watson will be back. It's just, I really think that this Cincinnati team is going to hit the next level and going to be competing for that Super Bowl or at least the AFC Championship. And a 13-14 win season, we'll get them there.
And I don't think anyone's thinking that they're going to take too far of a step back. I'm basing that more on what like I said,
no doubt.
Will be there.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Should we move on to the boys?
Let's do it.
The Dallas Cowboys sitting there at a 9.5 total, -115 for the over, -105. That's your juice for the under. So that looks like odds makers got that one just right as well.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the Cowboys?
I hate to say that it's
a loaded question.
I hate to say that I like the line. Do I think they're going to get 10 wins is the question, right?
Yeah.
I do. I do think that they're going to get 10 wins.
Hmm.
They're in a division, you know, that's pretty dang good, obviously.
Yes.
With the Eagles, one of the best teams in football, if not the best.
Right.
Commanders aren't going to be, but they're always right there as well.
They were a dumpster fire last year, and they still won 8 games.
Went
500.
I was going to say they're kind of like the Pittsburgh Steelers we were just talking about.
Yeah.
They're always going to find a way to win 8 or 9 games. I just think the Dallas Cowboys, with kind of the way that they're going to rejuvenate this roster without Zeke, you know, bringing in Tony Pollard to be the number one guy and stuff, I think that's going to give them a little bit of more juice, and I have them winning 11 games, Andy.
I do like their balance on offense, you know, and I do think that Dak gets a tougher time than a lot. And that's just part of the deal being a Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Mm-hmm. But also, like, he put a lot of that on himself, demanding that huge contract and then getting it.
Yeah, exactly.
So tip of the cap to Dak on that. But they were ninth last year in rushing, and they had a really nice two-headed monster. Pollard was basically their starter last year.
For sure.
And Zeke was your third down guy, change of pace guy. And then their passing, though, is 18th in the league. So I do think that has to improve. What differentiates Dallas from a lot of other teams is their defense.
Yeah.
They have a pretty darn good
pretty
pass
dang
defense.
Good defense. And like I see the AFC slate that they're going to go up against, and it has the likes of Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, and Justin Herbert, which that would scare even the most, you know, people. But Dallas, I just think, is poised to run, you know, through one of the more watered down NFC lineups with, you know, the Giants. I don't see the Giants making another run at it.
Really?
I think they might sweep the Giants. And I really think that the Cowboys have a very good season here. Maybe win 12 games, but I like 11 for sure.
Hey, they won 12 games last year.
Exactly.
You know, it's just that they catch.
And nobody's talking about them last year neither.
Yeah, they just catch so much heat. It's more about what was wrong and what did Jerry say this
exactly.
year on the fan.
Yep.
You know, so I can see that. I can see that. I'm going to probably put that one on the
back
burner.
It would be a third consecutive 12-5 season. So, I really think
history's
that
on your side.
I really think that they have the team to do it. I hope they don't win a game. It's kind of like the Yankees thing we were just talking about.
Yep. All right. We talked about a couple of the teams up there in the NFC North. And the Vikings, they always get everyone's attention. You know, they won 13 games last year. We talked about the Bears, you know, my Chicago
Bears
a little bit. And I don't know why, but people just love to talk about Detroit. I don't know if it's just a thing, but whatever. So we got to talk about the Packers.
The
Packers. God, I love my Packers.
Yeah.
And where they're at. And that's a 7.5 win total, over at -110, under at -110. So it's a -110 bet either way you go.
Yeah.
And I can see both sides of this. You can make an argument either way.
Yeah, Andy. I just like that line is, you know, so low with the 7.5 wins because I don't see them winning a lot more than that. But 8 wins should be a goal for the Green Bay Packers this year.
Yeah.
The one thing, you know,
it can be a goal.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's achievable.
No, exactly. I'm just saying, working in Green Bay's favor, you know, are a couple things. One, like you're saying, the NFC North isn't as strong as it has been, especially with Aaron Rodgers being in it. The Detroit Lions are kind of the favorite right now.
Yes.
And the Minnesota Vikings are unlikely to duplicate last year's record setting 11 wins in one score games. That was absolutely crazy.
It was.
That they kept spilling them out. And I really do think the Chicago Bears are going to be a lot better, but I still think they're 1 year away from being a really good football team. Two, the schedule isn't daunting.
No, it's not.
By one measuring stick, the Packers have the 9th easiest slate of games in 2023. As part of the schedule rotation are 4 games against the NFC South with my Panthers, which is the worst division in football. So they're getting 4 really good chances at wins there. And like we said with the NFC North, I go over on this, Andy. I really do. I think 8 wins is very really achievable for the Packers.
You know, a lot of people had the Packers going over last year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. It's easy money with Aaron Rodgers. No, it's not. They ended up 8-9, losing record. And I think they're worse. I think they're much
they
worse.
Oh, they are worse.
And a lot of those players that I thought were carrying most of the stats, carrying the water, if you will.
Yeah.
They're getting re-signed to a team like the Jets for some reason.
That's very true.
Go to the Jets. And I just I don't know. I need to see what Green Bay can do at quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm not a believer in it. I think they were so fortunate the last 20 years
for sure
having that starting quarterback, and now they're going to get a dose of reality. And, yeah, sometimes those seasons, when those losses start to happen –
It keeps coming on.
So I don't know. Even with Chicago not quite there yet, Detroit being flimsy and Minnesota regressing, I still think that division's going to get the better of Green Bay this year.
I think they're going to get the better out of them too, Andy. It's just you should be able to squeeze out 8 wins over a 17-game season.
Right. You should.
Especially which I think is a good coach. With LaFleur,
LaFleur,
and but it really does all, you know, hang on Jordan Love. Is this guy who they thought he was when they drafted him? Should he have been playing above Aaron Rodgers? All those questions are going to be answered this year, and I'm very excited to see it.
All right, so you'll go over, I'll go under.
There
we'll write that one down right
Boom.
There. Take a quick minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Stock and Rod Company, an outdoor lifestyle brand for those seeking adventure. Whether it's hunting, fishing, hiking, they got you covered. Visit stockandrod.com to get your wild game on. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is WTL. Welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the Line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
The Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
Yeah, we are, and we are all giddy. As we've mentioned, sports gambling is now fully legalized in Nebraska. The first sportsbook just opened right down the street from you in Lincoln.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Today's the first day of it. So, yeah, a couple of these plays that we're giving out here, I might have to run down there and throw some cash on. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yep. And it is a lot of on location. You know, we hear all the detractors
and stuff. Yep.
But there's 10 kiosks, and you do have to be on location to place these bets or fill out your app.
You
have an app.
Yep.
But let's just be happy that we at least have it rather than focus on
About it.
So we talked a little College World Series hits and misses. Do we want to get to the big show?
Let's go to the show, Andy, a little bit.
All right. And I know you were looking at some futures as far as teams making the playoffs, and you had your eyes on three different squads here. So real quick, I know one of them's out of the American League East, and right now at the top of the division is the Tampa Bay Rays. And they are just tearing it up. They are 52-25. Baltimore Orioles, they got to be one of the biggest surprises.
They are.
In Major League Baseball, sitting there in the two hole, only five games back with a record, overall record of 45-28. But you're looking at the Yankees here, and I think it's a -195 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, Andy, and I just think this is a really good value because obviously I think the Yankees are going to make the playoffs. Like you said, the Baltimore Orioles are sitting up there at the lead position in the wild card race right now because, you know, the AL East beast. You know, everybody's making the playoffs. But with the New York Yankees, they're 3-7 over the past 10 games. So I think this stock will never be as low as it, you know, you'll never get better odds than it is right now for them. They're 10.5 game backs, like you said, for the Rays, but they're slid right into that wild card position right now. So if the season ended today, they would be making the playoffs. And a couple reasons that I think that no matter what, they're going to make the playoffs. Aaron Judge hasn't been healthy for the past couple weeks. He's coming back. He's going to return to form, going to be that home run hitter, going to get them runs and runs and runs. Yep. And another player that's, stock is rising with how long the season is their ace, Gerrit Cole. He's going to come in and just smoke the guys in the back half of this season. So I really like the New York Yankees. I think they might make a run at the Rays a little bit here in the back half, but they're going to be a lock for one of these wild card positions. So Yankees right now with those odds, throw cash on it because that's a lock.
Yeah, and Cole is leading them in strikeouts. He's leading them in wins. He's leading them in ERA. So he's really doing all the heavy lifting. And their staff is beat up. And to further your point, a lot of those pitchers are expected to come back.
Yes.
They should be back here within a week or two.
Exactly.
That's the projection.
He's the lone anchor that's been keeping them afloat right now. But when the rest of, the rotation comes back, he's going to be that much better because they just can't, prepare for one guy.
Here's something that kind of, I think, makes him pretty dangerous as well. You mentioned Aaron Judge and how he's been banged up. He still leads the team in 19 home runs and 40 RBI. But he also, he's hitting for average this year. He has a 291 average. and I think you don't get much more dangerous than that. Really, the hottest slugger on the team right now is Rizzo, another big stick, you know, that can go yard. And he's batting at 270. So there are a lot of things to like about the Yankees. I mean, except that they're the Yankees.
Except for the Yankees, yeah. And if you guys out there are thinking I'm a Yankee homer, they're my most hated franchise of my entire existence. So I do not want them to make the playoffs, especially if they have a chance at meeting up with my Minnesota Twins.
Okay, now you're going with a team here. You're speaking of the Twins. Let's go to the Central. The Cleveland Guardians are currently in second place, only one game back, but they're four games under 500 right now.
Yeah.
The Twins are leading the division two games under 500. Yeah. It's kind of wild what's going on in the Central right now. Guardians at a +165 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, Andy, and like you said, with that plus money with the Cleveland Guardians making the playoffs, I just think it's the right play to do right now. The Minnesota Twins are in shambles right now. We can't win a game. We've been blown out by the Red Sox the last couple days. It's just, it's really, really dire position for the Minnesota Twins right now. And the reason that I'm so high on the Cleveland Guardians right now is they have the best, one of the top bullpens in baseball. Yeah. If they could score any runs, they would be a good team in Major League Baseball, but they can't. But their bullpen is going to really, what I'm trying to say here is win them the American League Central, because the Central is not going to get a wild card team, especially, like you said, with the teams being under 500. Whoever wins this division is going to be the lone playoff getter in the American League Central, and I really think that Cleveland, the way that they're put together, is going to be able to beat the Minnesota Twins when it comes down to it. I don't like saying that, obviously. I'm a huge Minnesota Twins fan. Right. I hope that we get healthy and all that kind of stuff, but I think the smart money right now is to put that plus money on the Cleveland Guardians, because their pitching in their bullpen is going to really eke wins out against teams like the Royals, like the Tigers, like the Twins.
White Sox.
Like the White Sox. And they are going, I believe it's going to be close. I believe it's going to be close between the Twins and the Guardians. But with the pitching, I give the edge to the Guardians.
And the Twins aren't doing as, I mean, if you're just looking at last 10, the Twins are 4-6, and the Guardians are only 5-5. But I get all your points. And you're talking about their pitchers and bullpen and their staff. I mean, Shane Bieber is, he leads them in everything.
Yeah.
Wins, ERA, strikeouts. But it's, I don't know, I'm not that impressed with it. It's 3.5 runs per game. Like, that's okay. That's good. All these other teams that I'm looking at, their ERA is 2.4.
Yeah, I'm just saying in the American League Central, Andy, with their pitching. Cleveland is also tied for 4th most saves in baseball with 24, and this is mainly, thanks to Class A. That's what I'm saying. I've seen the Twins lose about 6 games this year in the 8th or 9th inning, where a really good closer could shut the game out for us. With Emmanuel Class A for the Cleveland Guardians, they have that piece, is what I'm saying, is that he's not going to lose them games or blow a lot of saves like the Twins have been doing. So I like the back end and their starting pitching a lot better than Twins, especially against American League Central opponents.
All right, should we head out west?
Let's do it.
Okay, I mean, and the team that you kind of highlighted here, first off, in the Western Division, you have a Texas Rangers at the top. Currently last 10, they've gone 4-6.
Yeah.
Overall record of 45-28. That's a 6.616 winning percentage.
Yeah.
They're well on top of here. Houston Astros, they're in second place, 5 games back, tied with the Los Angeles Angels at this moment, but you like the Strohs.
Yeah, I definitely just like the Strohs just because they have the temperament. They have, you know, the history that, you know, they've been one of the best teams in baseball the past 10 or 5-10 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I just do believe that the Angels at some point are going to implode and get back to Angel ways. Like you said, the Astros and Angels are sitting right there tied with each other in this wild card as the third wild card team. So I believe that one of these two teams are going to make it. And if I had to bet on it, I'd go with the Astros. And one of the main reasons that I'm going to go with the Astros is they are linked to a pretty big all-star pitcher.
Valdez.
Towards the trade deadline, Andy, and the guy that I'm looking at is Lucas Giolito, one of the aces for the Chicago White Sox. So if they get somebody with the caliber of Lucas Giolito on this pitching staff that's already boosted, it could be night-night, and the Astros are, you know, coming for that next championship.
Yeah, I thought you were going with who they already have.
Yeah, no.
Getting in a little speculation there, but it's, where there's smoke, there's fire. But that Valdez, that's a guy I'm talking about. He has a 2.2 ERA right now. 7 wins, 104 strikeouts. He's already gone over the century mark in strikeouts. I mean, it's just amazing what he's been able to do. And you think some of their other pitchers will start coming around. And it's not like they're playing bad.
No,
they're not doing bad.
They're still a very, very good baseball team. But with those odds, Andy, I just really think that it's just a shoo-in for the Houston Astros to make the playoffs. I just have them locked in along with the Yankees at one of these wild card spots. I think Baltimore is going to kick the can, and I believe the Angels are going to kick the can, and the Yankees and the Astros will be atop of the American League wild card.
So you're expecting the Twins and Orioles to fade.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see a little surgence here in Cleveland, Houston, and New York. So you're expecting 3 teams here to kind of pull themselves up by the bootstraps.
You know, with the Guardians winning the Central and then the Yankees pushing for, against the Rays. They won't beat them, though, but these 2 teams are going to be atop the American League wild card, and you can lock that in because these teams are They're the cream of the crop, and they just haven't played like it yet.
Yeah, you know, and last time we kind of talked about this, the American League beast, the East. You know, they I think Boston was one or two games under 500.
Yep.
That's not the case anymore. No. They got a winning percentage of .527, and they're 11.5 games back of the Rays.
Yeah.
They're sitting at a 39-35 overall record. And in the Central, the Twins are leading, as we mentioned, with a 36-38 record. Yeah. It is just
it's kind of embarrassing, and that's just the way it is. Because, yeah, if you look at the American League East all the way down through the Central, the teams are all in a line there for you. So
yeah, they are from winnings, yeah, from win totals to not being the win totals.
It's just what it is.
Yep. Let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. We've been sipping on the easy drinking Ale Storm, the official beer of Omaha's AAA baseball team, the Storm Chasers. Precisely crafted with Pilsner malt and Sterling hops, making it the perfect summertime beer. Would you agree?
I would agree.
I would as
it's
well.
It's stormy now.
Don't go anywhere, folks. This is WTL. Welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron,
the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
And now we're going to get back into your wheelhouse, and that is the UFC, because we got another good fight night coming up.
We do.
Out of Jacksonville. Jacksonville, Florida, the ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena in Jacksonville. I think they've been there a couple times, haven't they?
They have been, for sure. They love Jacksonville down there. They just love Florida in general.
Yeah.
The UFC does. No rules in Florida.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we saw that a couple years ago. Yeah. Do what you want when you want.
Do what you
want
to do.
Whatever you want to do it. So, yeah, you had Fight Island or Florida, whatever you want.
Whichever one you want. It's good stuff.
So you had your eye on a trio of fights we want to talk about here. Let's start on the main card with the heavyweight bout. That is Austin Lane taking on Justin Taffa. And I think we have Taffa with a -180 favorite.
Yeah. One thing I want to point out here, Andy, is talking about Jacksonville, Austin Lane was an actual draft pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars back in the day. And I remember one of Austin Lane's first fights in the UFC was against my boy Greg Hardy that played for the Carolina Panthers.
Right, okay,
so it was a couple of big NFL guys going up against each other. Greg Hardy did knock him out. So that's been years and years ago. So I just wanted to point that out. But, you know, just talking about Austin Lane, he has been an interesting fighter to keep up with. The NFL, you know, pro turn to the octagon after, you know, failing to make an impact on the field. It happens for a lot of guys, but he has an impressive 11 knockouts.
Good
in
record.
His 15 bouts, so that's really...
12-3 overall.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a nice record.
That's a lot of knockouts for, you know, 12 wins, Andy. And, you know, being in a heavyweight division, everybody expects you to be, a big hitter and all that kind of stuff. But this guy actually is. On the other side, Justin Taffa is about as hit or miss as they come. He has posted a 3-3 record since making his UFC debut in 2019, and all three of his wins have come via first round knockout. So he hasn't gone up against the toughest of competition, though, so Saturday night serves as a chance to truly prove himself. As that being said, I really do think the oddsmakers have this one wrong.
Oh.
I'm taking Lane on the money line as a perfectly fine option, but I'm waiting until Saturday when those KO/TKO lines come out.
Okay.
I got Austin Lane by knockout. He is going to knock out Taffa, and it's going to be good odds. It's going to be up over +300 for the knockout odds, and I really believe that Lane gets it done here.
Well, just the money line is +150 on
Lane,
so you can get that in early. And
if
they, you know, sometimes those lines kind of tighten up and even out, because there's at UFC.com there is not much out really on either of these guys.
They're newer fighters, but they're not new to, you know, somebody that
15 fights under your belt, you know,
somebody that watches as exclusively as I do. Keep in mind, Lane also enters this fight with a massive 6-inch height advantage and a 6-inch reach advantage. He is also you know, someone capable of leaning on his cardio. Like I said, this is an NFL's player. This guy has cardio down to his foe, which, you know, does not bode well for Taffa, considering he has yet to win a UFC bout that has lasted beyond the first round. I think Austin Lane is the easy pick here. Take your plus money, run to the bank with it.
All right, I'm not going to argue that. I mean, just looking at the two guys side by side, Lane is in way better shape, or appears to be in better shape than Taffa. So that does make a lot of sense going the distance there. And you got to think Lane's going to try and stay out of harm's way because he knows Taffa's looking for that first round knockout.
You got it.
Let's move up the card here. Amanda Ribas, the lady out of Brazil, taking on Macy Barber, the current number 11 contender in this weight class. And she is a plus 170 underdog, is Barber.
Yeah. Like you said, Amanda Ribas made her way back to the flyweight division last May, but lost to Catalin Chahugin, which is one of the best female fighters out there, by a split decision in a return bout. Fortunately, the Brazilian, didn't let that loss keep her down, bouncing back at UFC 285 with a unanimous, unanimous decision win. So another win for Ribas will be easier said than done. Macy Barber. I really like Macy Barber, Andy.
Well, last time we saw her on that pay-per-view, that was a lot of fun.
It was.
She just took care of business.
Exactly. She's one of my, favorites in the women's division. Although momentum is on Barber's side, I really do got to go with Ribas here pulling off the victory. Barber was lucky to survive that fight that we're talking about. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
One of the better fights on the card, especially considering that she was taken down 5 times, Andy, and still came out with a victory.
Yep.
She now faces a dangerous grappler in Ribas, who averages two takedowns for 15 minutes and a 52% accuracy. So she is really going to have to step up that defense game a little bit against Ribas. Both women know how to avoid being finished, so don't be surprised if Ribas takes it to the distance and wins by decision.
Yeah, it goes all three rounds, right? Because it's one of the underfights, not one of the main events. And she is, I didn't mention it, she's the minus 200 money line favorite here.
Yeah.
And for good reason. But man, it is kind of hard to get away from Barber. And just that last time you saw her out. And they got very similar records here.
Oh, yeah.
12-3 for Ribas, 12-2 for Barber. And both are coming off a couple wins here, too.
No, like I said, you got to give it up to the odds makers, the fight makers right here, because this is a really good women's fight, and there's a reason it's so far up on the card. It's because it's going to be one of the best fights of the night. Like we said, neither one of these women is going to get finished. So either way you're looking at this, take it by decision on the other. For the gal that you want to win.
By decision. You won't catch any flack from the parlay pounder.
You will not. You will not.
Let's move on to the main event.
This
is a featherweight bout featuring the number 5 contender in the world, Josh Emmett, versus Ilia Topura out of Georgia, the number 9 contender. And the number 9 contender is a heavy, heavy favorite here at minus 325.
Yeah.
Josh Emmett. Plus 270 underdog.
Yeah, exactly. Topura is clear favorite. And did we say this was on ABC? I believe it is.
Yes.
El Matador, Topura, has won 5 straight fights to begin his UFC career, improving to a 14-0 overall, Andy. Mm-hmm. He has finished each of his last opponents as well, most recently notching a submission over one of my favorites, Bryce Mitchell, in a featherweight return at UFC 282. So that goes a long way with me. But meanwhile, Josh Emmett looks to rebound after falling to capture the interim title against Yair Rodriguez at 284, where he had lost by a submission. So, kind of separate pass here, Andy, we've been saying.
Yep.
Josh Emmett, he was fighting for a belt, and he lost it. Can you bounce back and go after Topura, who is, on the trajectory to get the next title fight with these, 14-0? So this is a really, really good fight. There's a reason that it's the main event.
Is the ascension going to continue for Topura, or is Emmett going to continue to fall? Because he's coming off that his last fight was a loss. That submission, as you mentioned, and that's what all the headlines are saying, is can Emmett get it back? Can he get it back?
Exactly. That said, Emmett, was on a five fight winning streak before he did that. So, and he has yet to lose back-to-back fights during his 12-year career, Andy. That's why this is so fun of a fight to watch. So, although Emmett has bounced back in the past, I don't see it happening here, Andy.
Not here.
He showed what he was susceptible to against Rodriguez and to a good grappler in that loss. Now he fights Topira, who averages over 2.5 takedowns and 2.5 submissions per 15 minutes.
Yeah.
On top of that, Topira is also more accurate with striking at 49% to Emmett's 37%. If they, you know, decide to exchange blows, with how easily Topira has finished his competition thus far, it's clear that Emmett will have, I think, be his latest victim. So I got Topira. There's a reason the line where it's at right now at minus 300 to minus 350, wherever you find it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you really want to get into it, I just found some methods of victory, Andy, and Topira by submission is at a plus 140 right now, which is, if you were going to sprinkle something on it, that's what I would do.
Okay, I was wondering if you're going to get into that. Do you have a parlay?
I do, and it's just a two-teamer. And
let's hear it. It's
kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy.
It's out there. Okay.
But it's Austin Lane to win by TKO. Like I said, sitting there at plus 225.
Wow.
I do believe these odds will get better, so if you get it closer to Saturday, do it, because it's only going to get better odds for Austin Lane. So I got that at plus 225 right now, and then I got Amanda Ribas to win by decision, only at a plus 100 right now. You add all that up, it's at a plus 550. You put $25 on it, getting back 162. You cannot beat that. It's going to be, changing my pocket, because that's happening.
And that's why they call them the Parlay Pounder, folks, right there. Just a two-teamer, but just look at the ROI, the return on investment.
It should be pretty fun.
All right. Well, that'll about do it for us this week. Be sure to follow us on ESPN Tri-Cities Radio and our Twitter account, podcast_WTL. Easy to remember, isn't it?
It is.
And please, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That thing has really taken off.
Yeah.
We're bringing out more and more content, short videos, those YouTube shorts, and the CWS. You know, you've been killing it. I put a couple pics in there. And, you know, we've had some guests that have done very well on
it
that we've been able to feature.
Please go check it out.
Also got those free daily picks over on TikTok. So if you are one of those TikTokers, we're on that as
We're on there as well.
For Joe Baron, the Parlay Pounder, I'm Andy Klassen. Thank you for listening. This has been WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days, on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.